You're listening to the renowned violinist Vijay Gupta. He played with the LA Philharmonic for 11 years, joining it at the age of 19. That was before winning a 2018 MacArthur Fellowship, also known as a genius grant. And he's the founder of Street Symphony, an organization that performs free concerts for LA's homeless community and in county jails. Next Thursday, Gupta will perform and speak at the Fresno Arts Council's 34th Annual Horizon Awards at the Tower Theater. Today, he's joining us by phone from Los Angeles. Welcome to Valley Edition, Vijay.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've made some interesting comparisons about how you feel being in the spotlight at Disney Hall when performing with the LA Phil and being on Skid Row, where tens of thousands of homeless people live in LA. Could you talk about that?
Certainly. Well, when we go into a clinic or shelter in the neighborhood of Skid Row, we're presenting music not as a form of entertainment or to kind of prove what great artists we are, but rather to offer a pathway back to human connection. Our audiences in Skid Row are not there to judge us, but also are truly there to connect with us as people. And so when we think about the work of Street Symphony, it's not based on a unilateral kind of outreach model, but in a much more mutual, reciprocal relationship where we are transformed as much by the musical experiences we present as we hope our audiences are moved.
And so you include musicians who live on Skid Row.
That's right. So, you know, we are truly invested in creating a consciousness shift from Skid Row being referred to as a place of problems and urban blight to really viewing Skid Row as a recovery community. And for this community, music and art is a pathway back to dignity and hope. And so we work with musicians like the drummer Ray Lewis or the composer Benjamin Shirley, who's actually now a full-time member of Street Symphony's staff.
And I know your perspective about Skid Row changed after you read a column by LA Times columnist Steve Lopez. He wrote about Nathaniel Ayers, the Juilliard-trained musician who suffered from schizophrenia and lived on Skid Row, and that column ultimately, or those columns ultimately resulted in a book, The Soloist. But it also gave you a different entree into this world. Can you talk about that and how that influenced Street Symphony?
It really did. So I was invited by Mr. Lopez to actually work with Nathaniel, who I refer to lovingly as Mr. Ayers. We developed a very close connection and bond, and Mr. Ayers had actually asked me to be his violin teacher. And I think I was 21 or 22. I had only been in the LA Phil for a couple of months, and I was being asked to connect with an individual who had experienced several decades of being unhoused and had been diagnosed with a severe mental illness. And I had no way of really understanding how I could in effect any kind of change in Nathaniel's life. But really, it was him, it was Nathaniel, who opened doors for me, because for Nathaniel, you know, Steve refers to music as his drug. Music was his way of being whole, of being human. And for many ways, music was that for me as well in my own experiences of mental illness or trauma or abuse in my own family. And so working with Nathaniel was actually opening a door to not only understanding a deeper role for myself as a musician in the world, but also understanding the Skid Row community as being home to a resilient, vibrant community of people who, sure, were experiencing addiction and poverty and recovering from incarceration and homelessness, but also were a neighborhood in their own right.
Well, there was a quote I read where you say the Skid Row community is one of the most vibrant artistic communities in America today.
So in Skid Row, Street Symphony is very lucky to work alongside a number of incredible arts leaders and partners. There's the Los Angeles Poverty Department, there's Studio 526, there is the Urban Voices Project. There are so many incredible artistic partners which create and present and curate art for this community. Next week in Skid Row is going to be the annual All Skid Row Festival of Artists, which is actually put on by Los Angeles Poverty Department, and they have a roster of over 900 artists who work and live in the Skid Row community. So truly in Skid Row, for the artists who live there, music is a way of creating culture. And when we think about engaging communities, you know, we often think about, you know, what on earth can music do? What can art do? It's a waste of time. We should be housing people. But the truth is, we need to actually see people as people and not as the problems. People are not defined by the condition of homelessness or mental illness. They are people with stories first. And so art and music allows us to root ourselves in the humanity and dignity which we must afford to every single human being.
That's really beautiful. And you started playing violin at a very young age. Your parents were immigrants from India. They had immeasurably high standards. I believe you've said you grew up in an abusive household. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that those experiences also shape the way that you interact with people.
You know, the way that I grew up was, you know, complicated in the ways that so many lives are complicated, but especially the lives of immigrants, because I also know that my parents sacrificed absolutely everything that they could have for me and my brother to have the lives we had. And I also realized that this was, you know, my accomplishments were their pathway to being okay themselves. I live and work as an artist at the intersection of having a background that is both painful and joyful and privileged and unseen. And so being an artist actually allows me to hold the complexity and nuance of the multiplicity of experiences and perspectives that I've experienced in my life. And I think that's actually what we need now more than ever. We're experiencing a world where we have more isolation, more alienation, and more disconnection from ourselves. And building pathways to connection, to understand the quote-unquote other, is actually the most vital act of citizenship and humanity that I believe we can do today in our modern society. I believe that we ostracize and criminalize the most fragile and vulnerable members of our society because we have in some way ostracized the most fragile and vulnerable parts of ourselves. We see the ache and hurt in another person as being their problem. But the truth is, if you're in a cage, then I'm in a cage. And so this work is actually about our own collective liberation.
Right. And it's so easy to turn away from other people's problems and just sort of turn a blind eye. And I want to ask you about that, because I know every December, Street Symphony stages a performance of Handel's Messiah at the Midnight Mission, and attendees are kind of forced to look at a part of LA that maybe they'd prefer not to. Is that part of the effort?
It is very much part of the effort. I mean, I believe that it is the role of artists to equally provoke and disrupt as much as it is our job to heal and inspire. And you know, we not only want to provoke and break old behaviors for the sake of breaking them, but we want to create pathways to new restorative connections. So attendees at the Messiah Project are members of the Skid Row community and people who are, you know, perhaps affluent donors from neighborhoods like Beverly Hills or South Pasadena. But the truth is, everyone in that room has to sing, and everyone in that room has to show up as human beings first and undo the veneer of being somehow okay or somehow separated from the rest of our world. So at every Messiah Project, we also create hundreds of hygiene kits, these amenity bags for the Skid Row community. And our donors and our attendees from the outside community are actually invited to share these kits and have conversations and sit next to folks who experience homelessness, because often it's the formerly or currently unhoused folks who are the better singers in the room.
And have you witnessed some really incredible connections being made?
I truly have. I mean, the truth is, Street Symphony is a network of over 90 professional artists, my colleagues from the LA Phil and Master Chorale, but leading jazz and mariachi and West African musicians. And the truth is, this work is not about some sweeping social reform. Social change happens one person at a time. It happens one relationship at a time. And the truth is, this work is actually about leaning into those relationships and knowing that even though we get to leave this community after one of our glorious programs, we have to return, we have to show up, we have to come back again and again, because the relationships exist in returning again and again.
And you gave up playing with the LA Phil after you won the MacArthur Fellowship. That must have been a huge leap of faith for someone who grew up perhaps feeling forced to do exactly what others expected of you.
It was a huge transition for me, and it continues to be a very vulnerable transition for me. I think what often happens, when one receives something called the quote-unquote genius grant, is people are, that recipient is often mistakenly referred to as a genius. And the truth is, I've never had more questions and more doubt in my life than I have this year. And I deeply miss my colleagues in the orchestra, but the truth is, I was standing backstage at Disney Hall in Tuxedo Tales, writing grants for Street Symphony and planning projects and ideas. So the MacArthur grant has actually allowed me to hire my full-time staff for the first time. As I mentioned, Benjamin Shirley, who is a member of the Skid Row community, is now our full-time director of community engagement. And I have an incredible musical colleague named Dustin Seo, who's a young cellist, who's our full-time director of musical programs at Street Symphony. But it is a serious consciousness shift, because I'm also asking myself for the first time in my life, who do I truly want to be as an artist myself? The truth is, I was never trained to be a CEO. I was never trained to be a policymaker. I was trained to be a violinist. And so this is the first time in my life I'm really, truly asking myself, well, what is my artistic purpose? What is my highest spiritual goal as a musician in this world? And that's a huge question for me.
So what is that like for you?
Well, it's incredibly vulnerable, but at the same time, I find that my relationship with the violin has really changed, because for me, making music is kind of like holding a mirror up to my soul. I know if I am whole and spiritually intact based on my relationship, the quality of my relationship with the violin itself, which is not something that happens in front of stages or cheering audiences. Often it happens in the practice room. You know, it's the act of sitting down and showing up again and again and again when there's no expectation of applause or recognition or the gift. And I think this is truly what artists have to teach the world around us, is that when we move beyond thinking of art as accomplishment and product, the artistic process is one of discipline and rigor and constant evolution. And I think that this is an incredible gift to think and live as an artist in the world today.
What has been the biggest challenge with Street Symphony?
One of the very biggest challenges is actually challenging the myth of the redemption story. I think that we have an obsession, perhaps even bordering on a fetish, with this idea that somehow music can solve homelessness, or that there is a redemption story or success story that is going to elevate us and somehow fix this work. And I think we kind of gravitate to having these silver bullets sweeping ideas around, well, if we just house them all, then they're off the streets and we've solved the problem. And the truth is, addiction and mental illness happens more behind closed doors than it happens on our streets. And so the truth is, if we're not looking at the people and only looking at the problems, then we're asking the wrong questions. And if we're only looking at the redemption stories and not holding space for people to have complicated, nuanced stories which involve the struggle and often the failure and the relapse, perhaps even death, that we're not really addressing the full complicated nuanced issues around us. And so one of the biggest challenges is around generating metrics for this work, because it seems that funders or policymakers only want to hear the redemption stories, and they don't want to hear the fact that actually, to enact real change, it's one person at a time, and it really requires us to show up every single day to this community again and again.
That's such an interesting point, and it does sound like it's all about the connection.
It has to be. It has to be. I mean, I actually think about the metaphor of making music and being in society as kind of similar to parenting or being in a relationship, that we continuously have to show up and be willing to be unconditional in our love. The moment that we put conditions on our love, the conditions on our relationships, we actually disrupt the ways in which we can actually interact with the world around us.
Well, Vijay Gupta, it's been a real honor speaking with you today.
Thank you. It's an honor being interviewed by you. Thank you so much for having me.
Again, Vijay Gupta will be performing and speaking at the Fresno Arts Council's Horizon Awards at the Tower Theater next Thursday.